Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, My Boss Finds Faults, Part 1. Here we go. Well, this has got to be another one of those casts that follows the theme of what we wish we knew when we were 20,
right? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Unless you're a robot on the line at car factories, right? You're probably not perfect.
It's funny you mentioned robots. Somebody sent me a note recently that I had said something about, what's the website that I like so much? The real negative motivation one, D something. Despair.com. Despair.com. And my poster that I bought years ago and have here in the office, but don't have it on the wall, is the picture of the pretty beach. And it says motivation underneath. And it says, if all you need is a pretty picture to motivate you, you must have a pretty easy job. One that will be done by robots soon. Because robots are cheaper than you. They require less management skills and they're perfect. And you're not.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we're not perfect, and probably most of our listeners are perfect. Maybe there's one person out there. And
maybe. I'm sure there are a few.
We'd like to meet you, or a couple of you, or a few of you.
We want to work for you.
But part of the reason we have managers, because we're not perfect, and it's not like they're better people. They just have more experience. They've been through it, and they can guide us in making our work better.
Right.
And, you know, for some of us, that constructive criticism can be really hard to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, let's be honest, some of it is harder to deal with because for some of us, the criticism isn't delivered constructively and therefore it's harder to deal with than.
And of course, you know me, I don't think any criticism is constructive. People don't like being criticized. But look, the fact is we've learned the hard way. We didn't know this when we were 20. We got our feelings hurt, or we didn't get our feelings hurt. We just thought our bosses were idiots, right? We've learned the hard way. That you have to learn how to deal with having your work critiqued. And basically this cast is about giving those of you who are younger than us a bit of a head start on the hard lessons that we learned along the way.
Yeah. Now, just to be clear here, though, we're not talking about major deliverable failure here, right? We're just talking about the day-to-day faults with your everyday work. You know, if you've missed a major deadline.
In other words, what an effective manager tools manager would deal with by giving feedback, right?
Right. Small, minor stuff. Important stuff, but in the grand scheme of things, minor. We're not talking about the major project deadline or missing your numbers for the entire year.
Or a below average, a 2 on a 5 scale on a performance review, right?
Right. If those are the things you're dealing with now, this cast isn't for you. We're not going to address those things here.
And look, let's also say we're not suggesting your boss is a bad boss because he or she gives you a lot of negative feedback. Let me change that. Gives you a lot of criticism because you may, in fact, it's possible that your boss is a bad boss, but it may not be that bad. The fact is your boss wants you to be better and tells you you can do better all the time. And some people want to be praised and some bosses don't like doing that. We're not saying your boss is right. We're not saying you're right or wrong. We're just saying if your boss finds fault with your work routinely when you thought you did a good job and you maybe don't know how to handle that, we're not going to analyze why your boss is doing it or whether he or she is right or not. We're just going to say, what do you do as a starting point when this is happening to get you past it, to help you build up a little bit of a callus and help you handle it better? And basically, we've got 4 recommendations.
Before you give the recommendations, let's just make it really clear, though. There's 2 reasons, in my mind at least, why this is important. One is you need to get better, right? So if you're making mistakes, you want to know about it and you want to get better. So that's
fair.
That's number one. And number two is your boss is drawing conclusions based upon the way you handle the criticism. They're deciding how professional they think you are, and that's going to affect your career.
Yeah, if you get pouty, I know. So I'm working with somebody lately that's pouty every time you correct them, right? And if you get pouty, they're going to assume that you will pout in front of senior people when they have an opportunity to put you in front of senior people for a briefing, and then they think twice about it because, geez, what is he going to do when the senior executive says, no, this is dumb. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. When in fact, a senior executive might in fact say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard, while also blessing the general idea that you're putting forward, right?
Yeah.
And then the person who's the direct gets like, oh, I can't believe they said that. And he pouts and he does a terrible job in the last 15 minutes of the presentation. And the executive says to the manager later, I don't know what happened to that guy, but he caved and I liked him, but then he got his feelings hurt, I guess, and don't send him up here anymore. And of course, the boss is a bad boss and the direct feels justified and those senior bosses were just mean anyway. And
right.
Nobody wins.
And so you get credit for two things. You get credit for the original mistake and then you get credit for handling it poorly. Well, it's just a bad...
Well said.
It's a bad way to cycle down. So, okay. So I want to make that clear. So given that, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. So 4 points. First of all, folks, you got to take it seriously. Don't blow it off. Don't assume your boss is just super critical. Don't assume your boss is a perfectionist and you're actually a perfectionist too, but she's just impossible. Okay. Take it seriously. Number two, look, folks, apologize. Only once, but apologize. Say, I'm sorry. I dropped that ball. Right. And an apology is a form of taking responsibility. Number three, and this is where you really take responsibility, create a strategy for doing better. Listen to what your boss said, relook at what you're doing, and come up with a better plan for how you're going to reduce that problem next time. This is how one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways we learn how to get better, right? If a team goes through a season and never loses and never has the opposing team do anything and they score all the points they want, they're probably not learning as much as a team that's challenged and has to change its approach and get better and learns more approaches to handle more different situations. And then the fourth point that I think is important, hopefully will help build people's emotional maturity and emotional robustness when your boss who has power over you criticizes you, is just, folks, be willing to move on, okay? Recognize that you're going to get criticized. It's not personal. I'll never forget my older brother when I went to West Point and said, look, two things, keep a sense of humor and it's not personal. And I thought of those things thousands of times when I was being criticized for the way I took my breaths. So take it seriously. Apologize once if you need to, right? Create a strategy for doing better and then just move on and you'll be fine.
Okay. So let's talk about taking it seriously. Do you really think that's a big issue out there that bosses are critiquing an individual's work and folks don't take it seriously?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's true. I'm sure it was true when I was younger that senior bosses said about me, you know, Horstman seems to think that if I correct him, that he gets to argue with me about who's right and who's not. Separate from the fact that surely somebody with 20 years experience has a greater likelihood of being right. but in addition to that they have role power and they have experience.
But you didn't think so, right?
Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, right? You knew my reputation and
yes,
first year
yes,
we were in. Right? Everybody thought I was really smart and really, really successful and brilliant. And wow, did he stick his finger in a lot of people's eyes. So yeah, I think there is a problem. And I think that if you think you've done it well, and if you've not been in a situation where you've gotten a lot of criticism, a lot of critique, and interestingly, I would not have thought about this 20 or 30 years ago, but I think a lot of people on sports teams that are coached at a very high level and are told you didn't do it right, you didn't do it right, you got to do it over, you got to do it over, you got to do it over, you got to practice, 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 not good enough, not good enough, not good enough, build up that emotional, professional, behavioral callus earlier in their life than somebody who doesn't. If you got nothing but straight A's and you weren't on any teams and you didn't have anybody asking you to do more, then if the first time it happens is in a professional setting, it's going to be harder for you. I think, people take it personally. They internalize it and they often, in order to defend their fragile emotional state, not super fragile, but delicate emotional state is, they defend themselves by saying the boss must be wrong. So yeah, I think there are a lot of people who don't take it seriously. And that's our first point, right? We recommend it. Folks, if your boss is finding fault with you, start with the supposition that your boss is right and you're wrong. Okay. We've been on both sides of that equation. We've been the direct who didn't agree with the boss, but then realized they were right after all. And we've been the boss and shook our heads when the direct continued to do something over and over and over again, right? What's the difference of insanity? Doing things over and over again, expecting different results. And I can tell you from my experience, folks, when I was 20, I knew I wasn't that smart, but I kind of thought I had my head on straight. And I thought I knew what I was doing when I was 25. I looked back at what I was doing when I was 20. I said, God, you were an idiot. And then I said to myself, but now at 25, I kind of know what's going on. I feel pretty good about understanding how things work and the ins and outs and who to have relationships with and so on. And then I turned 30. I looked back and said, God, you were an idiot. but now at 30, you know, I'm kind of getting a sense of things. I'm kind of feeling good about it. I got to get a little bit of experience under my belt. And then I hit 35 and I thought, dear God, what was I thinking when I was 30?
And just about every 5 years.
Every 5 years or so. My God, what, you know. And that's true of my 5 years at Manager Tools as well. I look back and go, man, if we had known, if we could have thought of it, if we could have seen it, right?
Right.
So you got to take somebody with more experience and with role power seriously.
When you say take it seriously, I mean, you mean take it seriously. Don't appear as if you're taking it seriously only.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
But take it seriously, right? I mean, it's really easy to look as if we're listening, right? And then on the inside say, yeah, no big deal, right?
Or, yeah, look, if you don't respect your boss, many people develop a very quick ability to show an affect of, yes, I'm interested, when in fact secretly saying, you're such a jerk, I hate you, go away, right? In fact, they justify it, right? They say, you know, if he had to do this, he'd have made the same mistake, or that's not justified, or heaven forbid, you mentally you say whatever, because then inadvertently you're busy thinking about X. Your boss comes and gives you criticism about Y. You're so busy thinking about X, you don't realize you just used your out loud voice with your boss and said whatever to your boss, right? Yeah. Did I just use my inside voice or my out loud voice? Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Career limiting move right there.
Yeah. And looking as if you're taking it seriously and not taking it seriously is a huge mistake. Okay. So you addressed one of my concerns I talked about earlier, right? You don't want your boss to walk away thinking that you're unwilling to listen and drawing that conclusion. So you've avoided that, but you fall into the first fault, which is you've been blinded to your own faults. It lets you off the hook of great performance.
Yep.
And likely over time, it's going to break down your relationship with your manager.
Yeah, even, you know, somebody said to me, well, Mark, I don't like criticism. I said, you know, when Peyton Manning, a great American football quarterback, throws a football and he throws it to the opposing team, he throws an interception, or it's incomplete. You know, what was that saying? I'm trying to think of which famous American football coach said, when you throw the ball, three things can happen and two of them are bad. One's an interception, one's an incompletion. Only one of them is good, which is a completion. But look, if you're Peyton Manning and you're pretty darn good at what you do and you don't pay attention to whether or not your team catches the ball or whether the other team does or whether it's incomplete, you may think to yourself, well, that's just feedback. Yeah, but criticism from your boss, verbal criticism from your boss is feedback. It doesn't follow our feedback model necessarily, but when you take an action, there is a response from the system around you. Your boss is part of your system, your ecosystem, your professional ecosystem. If you do X and she responds with, I don't like X, that is, systematically speaking, engineering-wise speaking, that's feedback. It may not be in the feedback model. And so you might say, I don't like criticism, but the fact is that's essentially ignoring the feedback that your actions are causing. Every action has a reaction, right? And so it literally, to ignore criticism is to state, I am not a professional. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there aren't those of you out there who are right to say you work for a jerk. Okay. We know that. The question is not whether or not your boss is a jerk. The question is that criticism valid? And if it comes from your boss, it has validity. And what are you going to do about it? Separate from whether or not you like it, right? I mean, executives and managers don't do what they like. You don't get paid to do what you like. You get paid to do what the organization needs you to do to contribute to the organization's success. So you can't dismiss the criticism. If you want to get better, if you want to improve your performance, if you want to progress in your career, you have to be open to the reactions that happen to the actions that you take. This is a simple mechanistic process that exists in all human behavioral systems. And so because you work with other people, sometimes that response from the system comes in the form of verbal criticism. If you want to be considered a professional, you have to be open to listening to people who make suggestions to how you can improve, or even if they don't make suggestions, tell you that they didn't think that it was up to the standards that they want. And you have to be willing to work for somebody who, when you do it perfectly, they say nothing because privately they mistakenly believe that perfection is what they wanted, and they needn't reward perfection because achieving perfection is its own reward, right? We disagree with that, but the fact is it exists. So the question is, how are you going to interact with a system that is inherently inefficient and, frankly, in the case of bad bosses, ineffective? Well, rather than blaming it on the boss, you ought to say, what are my choices? What actions can I take? How can I get the most out of what is essentially a flawed system? And it is flawed. We understand that. Look, if you're perfect now, you don't have anywhere to go. But that said, since you're not perfect, you cannot avoid the danger of instantly dismissing criticism. Look, even if it's directed at your personality, if it's personal rather than about your behavior, right? Those of you who've been listening to us for years know the difference. But when you get criticized personally, your defense mechanism automatically kicks in and you justify not caring. You say it's no big deal, or you have some other negative reaction. But look, I'm telling you, I mean, Mike Swenson and I have talked about this a lot. I believe it's one of my biggest factors that helps me with success in terms of separating the stimulus and the response. Covey says in Seven Habits, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. In those choices. In fact, Mike Swenson he actually quotes this. He says, that's where the word responsibility comes from. Responsibility, our ability to choose our response. We're recommending the professional response to criticism, good or bad, well delivered or not, public or private, personal or not, behavioral or emotional, doesn't matter. Your response, your choice about how to respond is still under your one of the things you're able to do, right? Between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. In those choices lie our growth and our happiness. Folks, I am quoting Stephen Covey there. So folks, choose to put your defenses aside and listen as dispassionately as you can to the criticism. And the question you might want to ask yourself is, could it be true from their perspective? Look, if you say something like, if someone else had to do this, they'd have made the same mistake. You know, it's you letting yourself off the hook. And don't feel bad. I've done it too. Let's just do it less next month than we did last month. No, look, you don't have to be perfect, right? It's not possible. But if you want to improve, if you want to learn and grow, you have to be prepared to hold yourself to a higher standard than what you're achieving now. And your boss, however clumsily she or he is trying to do it, is trying to help you do just that. Even when he doesn't say it the way you want him to, even if she doesn't do it in a very kindly way, if we really, truly were emotionally mature, we'd just say thank you that we were getting feedback or responses from the system to our action. And all of it would be helpful to us, and we wouldn't personalize it or minimize it because it came from a source we didn't like.
Yeah. You read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, right?
Yeah, I love his books. Yeah. I even read the book, What the Dog Saw. It wasn't as good, but I liked it. I liked it.
Which you liked as well, yeah. Well, in there he talks about the marriage counselors, right? And they discovered that if one or the other of a couple has contempt, right? That it's
yeah,
just
contempt
death,
is the magic danger, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's a bridge that once they've crossed it, they just can't get back over it.
Right? Oh, and I see what you're saying, right? Yeah, what you're saying is when we say that's not justified, we're showing contempt for our boss, right?
Exactly. And it's clear, yeah. Right? It's really clear. It's disrespectful. Yeah. And the relationship surely suffers as a result.
Yeah, and we want better relationship with our managers, all things being equal. And the more we tend to justify and essentially respond in a contemptuous way, we're probably putting a high-minded title on that, but that's essentially what it is. That's starting down a road that's going to destroy the relationship, whether we like it or not, unless we really step up our emotional maturity. Now, look, hopefully, folks, your boss tells you about small mistakes before they get to failure in your performance review. Be thankful if you work for a boss who gives you a lot of small corrections rather than waiting till your car's almost in the ditch and then jerks you out of it so hard it hurts your head hits the side of the car or the window and you're uncomfortable and you have whiplash. So take it as an early warning when he or she does so. Take it as a signpost. Listen calmly. Be thankful compared to the thousands, millions of other people in the world whose bosses don't even speak to them. Kate, my daughter, mentioned to me that my boss for 6 weeks didn't say a single word to me. It's just mind-boggling, right?
It's mind-boggling.
So be thankful. Consider that you're at least getting some feedback and you can use it if you'll be dispassionate about it.
Good. Let me ask you a question before we go on. Surely there are many people, and I've been in a situation where I felt I was ready to listen. Like, I was listening. I wanted to improve. I wasn't dismissing it out of hand. Yet it was pretty clear, paying attention to the facial expressions of my boss, that they were coming away with the conclusion that I was, in fact, dismissing it, and I was not listening.
Right.
So, right. You know, there are some people who are really good at that, and they can do the opposite, right? They can feign interest, and yet inside be telling a different story. I'm more concerned about, right now, those folks who are truly interested, yet they don't express it well. What can somebody say, or what can somebody do? What's the right set of behaviors
yeah,
to engage well, in one. When you're getting this kind of criticism?
It's a very specific question. It's a good one. So look, it's really not that hard. Part of our communication is so hardwired, we don't even know it's happening, right? We tell the story at conferences that people who are born blind gesture when they speak. They'll never see another gesture. They'll never see another gesture to know that in these situations, humans gesture like X and X means this, and yet they gesture when they talk. Why? Because the part of the brain that controls speech is very close to the part of the brain that controls hand gestures, because human beings are meant to gesture with their hands, because communication is nonverbal as well. All this stuff is hardwired. And there are some things every one of us can do when we don't want to be mistakenly perceived as being dismissive. That's your point, right?
Yes.
You're actually mentally and emotionally, you're ready for it, and yet you're afraid, maybe my boss actually is getting the impression I'm not. Okay, so look, usually, I'm going to get a little bit emotional here, folks, or I'm going to describe an emotional state here, and I'm going to depart from my usual behavioral mindset. And usually when I see that, I get a whiff from the direct that they're in fact really insecure about their performance and they're getting their feelings hurt. And so just be advised, folks, I see that. Now, am I a sociologist, psychologist? No. So let's get back to behavior. Here's what you do. You lean forward, you smile, you'd say, I love some feedback, and you write down what he or she says and you say, thank you. And by the way, notice, lean forward. Okay. If you're sitting, right? If you're leaning back in your chair, let's say you're sitting at your desk and your boss comes up and you turn a quarter turn toward your boss. Say, yeah, boss, what's up? And he says, I'd like to talk about your performance. And, you know, I'd like to mention something that happened in the meeting. And you immediately lean back in the chair and say, shoot.
Yeah. And worse, lean back and cross your arms.
Yeah, sure, boss, whatever. And then, or fold your hands behind your head the way I do sometimes, right? When I do my one-on-ones with Wendy, we use Skype and video. And I caught myself looking at my, you know, I'm having a long, expansive conversation with Wendy. I look up and I'm leaning all the way back in my Aeron chair with my head tilted back and my hands behind my head. I'm thinking, man, this is the wrong look. But yeah, the first thing people do is lean back. Or let me say it this way, their face tightens. In other words, like, okay. So if you're sitting, lean forward, and that means scooting your butt, if you'll pardon my saying so, to the edge of the chair, leaning forward, grab something to write with, say yes, say the word yes, yes, or sure, go ahead, open your eyes a little bit, raise your eyebrows a little bit. These are all physical behavior, human physical behaviors that send a message saying, I'm open to this. Now, and it doesn't just send a message, that automatically cause the other person biologically to believe you're open to it. Whereas if you simply say, go ahead, and your tone is neutral and mentally and emotionally, you're ready for it, but you say, go ahead, and you look down at the paper you're going to write your notes on. And by the way, writing notes is fine, but you look down and you write the notes and you're very quiet during the time. And then when you're done, you say, thank you, but there's no handshaking. There's no real, you don't raise your eyebrows. You don't smile. You don't look at them when you say thank you. Or maybe even before you say thank you, you look at the note carefully and you kind of review it in order to make sure you're getting it right. I promise you, they don't think you're making sure you're getting it right. They think you're deciding whether or not you agree.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You're marshaling your emotions to keep from saying something negative about being attacked. And so what you do is you behave your way into believing, which is, again, a common psychological technique. You literally scoot your, if you're sitting down, you scoot your butt forward to the edge of the chair, you lean forward and you say yes, you raise your eyebrows, you say yes a little bit faster than you normally would, and you smile a little bit and say, I'm eager to hear it. Please share. So say yes, say the word please, say the word I'm eager. Don't say it in monotone. Now, some of you I know, you're listening out there and you say, ah, Mark's kind of a sales guy. Well, don't count me too much of a sales guy. I'm an engineer too. You're probably smarter than me about what you do, but I'm not an idiot. And if you think that you can respond in dispassionate neutral, it doesn't matter. Remember, when it comes to communication, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the other person heard. All that matters is what they think they heard, right? Communication is what the listener does. If you think you're being neutral, your boss probably thinks you're being defensive and analytical about something that he's already decided. There's no analysis needed to be done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was probably overkill for an answer, but that's what I do. That's lean forward and go, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Raise my eyebrows, open my eyes a little bit more, and smile and take notes and say, wow, this is great. Thank you very much.
And you recommend smiling versus a scowl or showing that you're taking this.
Yeah, but let's be clear. But, that comment, a smile versus a scowl. There's nobody who's listened to this cast who would say, I scowl. They don't. As Mike Swinson, our friend, would say, he says, well, I have the Swinson unibrow, which is he's knitted his brow and thought his eyebrows have come down close to his eyes and he's scrunching his forehead together. So his eyebrows get closer and it looks like a solid eyebrow, which his kids say means he's angry. Yeah, there's nobody who's going to say, I don't scowl. What they do is they're deep and they say, I'm thinking, I'm analyzing. Folks, don't think, don't analyze, listen and write it down and have thoughts of gratefulness and appreciation that you're learning more about the response the system you're in is giving to the action you took. And so, Mike, they don't think they're scowling. It's not a question of smiling versus scowling. Mm. It's a question of Horseman says, smile like a dork, like I really love this from my idiot boss, as opposed to me, Mr. Analytical, deciding whether or not I want to take this internally. Well, guys, folks, unfortunately, you're wrong. Okay. That neutral face comes across as I'm deciding now, boss, whether I believe what you're telling me has value to me or not. I'm going to tell you, if you're my direct, guess what? If I think it has value to you. And then the other side is smiling doesn't mean you're a toady, you're a suck up. It means to the person who's listening, not to you, to the person who's listening, oh, this person really actually is pleased about this. I know it sounds corny, but I'll tell it again. It's the story of the kid who was a total optimist, always positive about everything. His parents felt like he was going to go out in the world. He was going to be way too positive. The world was going to beat him to death, and he really needed to be taught a lesson about how the world was a tough place. And so on Christmas morning, they walked him into the barn, and in the barn was a 9-foot-high pile of dung. And he starts jumping up and down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is great. And they're like, what? It's a big pile of dung. He says, look, man, with a pile of dung that big, there has to be a pony in there somewhere. Right? Well, yeah. Okay. If my boss says, hey, you want to hear how you're doing? I'm like, yeah, come on. Tell me. Yeah. Right? When our clients say, hey, I'd like to give you some feedback. Right?
Yeah. Well, good. I just want to hit on that a little bit because our audience tends to, less so these days, but has tended to skew technical, and to a lot of folks, this will be very uncomfortable. They'll feel they're smiling like a total dork. And folks, if you're not smiling, you're probably frowning, or it's perceived negatively.
Yeah. So you're thinking, and so you've got your eyebrows knitted together. But let me say something else, Mike. I'm glad you brought it up. I think it's a really good point to get really specific on behavior. And let me say something else too, folks. Every once in a while, when people ask us what should they do in a certain situation, we point out something like, wow, that's kind of dangerous. This is not comfort tools. This is career tools. And sometimes in careers, you have to do things that you don't love, and yet they're the right thing to do, right? If everything that you love is the right thing to do, well, that's easy. You don't need us. So this is simply a case of engaging in the right behavior. Smile, scoot forward in your chair, or lean forward physically. Yes, absolutely, boss. I'd love to hear it. Can I take notes? And then say, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll finish this one up next week. In the meantime, y'all have a great one. So long.